Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining me today are two guests. First, we have Marty Arvin, who's Vice President of Audit and Strategy from Synergistec and is based in Tennessee. And then we also have Don Ahart. Don is an internal auditor at Hunterdon Healthcare in New Jersey. Marty, Don, thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So we're going to talk today about data management audits, which is something you talked about at the 2019 Compliance Institute. First, I think it would be good if you laid out exactly what a data management audit is and what it would cover.
Basically, what I look at it is the data management audit is about the logistics of your data. In essence, where your data lives and how it flows through your organization. I would say some of the key points that it would cover, where's your data located in your network? How do you classify your data, where it's stored? And essentially how you use it internally and who you share your data with externally. And also determining who owns that data and who's responsible for maintaining it.
The one thing I was going to add to that is it's not only where it lives in your network, but just where it lives, because there are multitudes of places it can live that are not necessarily on the network.
Very true.
So basically, in the cloud is the big issue. And obviously, with cloud computing, that could be anywhere in the world, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, not only that, but I'm thinking more mobile devices and removable media.
Mm. Right. And as we all know, that's where a lot of the problems happen with lost devices. So there's obviously a lot of ground to cover with that. Both physically and intellectually. Can you break down what the key steps are for figuring out where all the data is and, what your controls are for it?
Normally, from my experience, you would start trying to do a data discovery, again, locating where the data is, but also who owns the data. And once you determine where the data is and who owns that data, it can help you then therefore classify that data. What's important, what needs to be, secured, what can be transferred out of the organization, and what controls have to go around that. They would be the first two areas I would start.
And obviously it's only two, but those tend to be very difficult tests to do because there's a lot of places that they may be. What are some data management areas that are particularly troublesome for most organizations and really a good place to start with addressing those?
I think a lot of people, when you first start, as you mentioned in the last question there, when you start trying to see where all your data is at, it can be very intimidating for a lot of people. A lot of times people will assume that it's just an IT issue, but it does take a lot of help from different departments on locating all the data and how it is used. The other a good way to help you with that is including different committees that usually deal with either disaster recovery or even your InfoSec department, and a lot of your business units can help you give ideas on where data's at, how they're being used, and who's responsible for that data can give you a lot of insight to it.
Adam, one of the things that we talked about in the presentation was the discussion was around what I would call a big data management audit, meaning, really going out and trying to identify all the things that Don has talked about so far, and then starting to really assess the controls around that. And we pointed out to the audience that you can break this down into smaller bites, if you will, and audit certain things. So maybe year one is a process audit where you do this kind of data discovery and really look at the process around that. And then year two might be some validation that people are actually following those processes. And so it really ties back to what your resourcing is and what you're looking to bite off, if you will, as part of your audit scope. And so we did point out that, you can break this down into pieces and look at one piece as a specific audit and then the next piece as a specific audit. And I think that's always something for folks to keep in mind is, we're not suggesting you have to go out and do all of this at once, but you can break it down. And I'd add to, I think two of the troubling areas when you're looking about looking at data management, at least for me, were the mobile devices that I mentioned a moment ago, as well as desktops, because people will tell you that they haven't stored any identifiable information or protected health information on their desktop. But if you actually go look at it, you'll oftentimes find that there is data there because they just forget or don't think about it when you're asking the question. And, you know, those are areas where, you know, the network is, I think, complex, but perhaps easier to identify what data is on the network. But when you're talking about the multiple desktops and mobile devices, that's a much more challenging question.
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of them. And I think one of the good points that you to just raise is the fact that this is not something that anyone can expect to be a relatively quick exercise. You're really looking at a multi-year effort just to really get a handle on both to get a handle on things and really get people acting appropriate. Now, you know, you mentioned looking at desktops, you know, and that people find weaknesses there that, you know, employees don't even realize they're creating risks. And as you go through this audit, I think you're likely to find strengths in some areas and weaknesses in other areas, not just in the desktop realm. How's it best to prioritize which weaknesses to tackle first?
I think you said the word risk, and that's how I would look at it. I mean, you have high-risk areas that you're going to want to address, but sometimes they may be a little bit more involved and take time, but you still have to work slowly on them. So you would focus on the high risk, but you would also, you know, work on the stuff that are the simple and quick fixes as well. So I think it's really, you know, two areas. You look at the high risk, and you look at what you can accomplish with the most ease.
And Adam, I just have to say that Don and I didn't talk a lot about our responses to some of the areas you indicated we'd talk about, but that's almost verbatim what I had typed out as the response to think about those weaknesses and high-risk areas. Look at the high-risk stuff. It might take more time. And then also try to identify, is there any low-hanging fruit that you can fix very quickly? So I just was almost laughing when he started his answer because I put down the same thing.
Right. Well, it's good to know you're both on the same page on this. And, you know, obviously it's tempting to look, you know, it's good to look high, but don't forget to look low is a good admonition there. Okay. So as we start to wrap things up, you know, the audit's done, you put the remediation plan into place. You start your auditing and monitoring on an ongoing basis that people are following the plan and that you're addressing your weaknesses, both major and minor. When's the time to say, okay, it's time to start all over again?
I kind of look at it from my experience here. It's one of those where it's never truly done. Once you have it up, you know, when you first do the audit, yes, there's going to be a heavy lift and there's going to be a lot of challenges addressing the findings that you may have. But it's something that's constantly going to be continuing to grow as, you know, your data life cycles will get involved into it. You know, it becomes part of your process of when you have more information coming in, more systems coming in, you'll be able to incorporate it to the to your data management program at that point. And like you said, you can do some monitoring on it as well. And I think, you know, again, once you get it up and running and things are part of your actual day-to-day data life cycle, I think you'll be well.
So the only thing I'd add to that is one caution, and that is the remediation plan. You have to look at that and make sure that it's realistic because, you know, I've been in organizations where they've said, well, we'll remediate this, but it's going to take us 4 years. And I pushed back because I said, the risk here is too high. You can't really wait 4 years to remediate this. And it was in part because obviously, as a lot of organizations will say, we don't have the resources to be able to focus on this. And that's where you have to go back to management. And my other thought, Don, I don't know if you would agree with this, is I would probably look at doing something at like a 3-year point. So you look at your remediation plan, and as Don mentioned a moment ago, some of these things are going to take a bit longer than others. So you wouldn't want to go back in and do another audit a year from now if you set a remediation plan that said this process, we are not going to be able to realistically implement it until 18 months from now. So you're going to, if you go back in and reassess, you're going to find some of the same issues you found the first time around. So I would look at that remediation plan and think about when things are going to be accomplished in that reasonable time frame to address the risk, and probably look at, you know, thinking about 3 years out, if you don't already plan on doing it sooner, to probably do another one within that time frame. And that's just sort of a rough thinking about, you know, what you might want to do on a more routine basis if you haven't already decided to reassess it based on the remediation plan in a sooner time frame.
Well, it's certainly, you know, one of those things where you can't afford to wait and you can't afford to think you're on top of it always. So it sounds like it's dive in and dive in often on this issue. Well, Marty, Don, thank you for taking the time to share your insights with us today and at the Compliance Institute. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we are able to expand your compliance perspective.